This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Hey, before we get into today's episode, just a quick reminder that if you have someone that is currently pregnant and thinking about all the things that are ahead of them, from postpartum planning to breastfeeding and returning to paid work, to how on earth to navigate the childcare system and what they need to do now, we have just the guides for them. You can shop our Ready or Not go-to guides, Postpartum and Return to Work Planning, Breastfeeding and Returning to Work, and Childcare 101 for $69 as a bundle or $29 individually. They're packed full of information created with experts, and I personally think they're brilliant. You can shop them now in our show notes or readyornot.au. For some mothers, the idea of leaving their baby, particularly in those first few months or even years, feels excruciating, irreconcilable even. And for others, having space to engage in pursuits outside of mothering feels important, perhaps even necessary. Both feelings are, of course, valid, and on this particular subject, I'm a chameleon. Every day, my wants and needs as a mother and a professional turn a new shade. My feelings are never stagnant, they're ever changing. I've often said that if there was a way to simultaneously strap my babies to my chest and have them 10 kilometres away from me at all times, I'd be content. So deep is the tension that exists between wanting both. So deep is the paradox that is modern motherhood. And perhaps there is nothing that quite magnifies that tension as much as navigating the murky waters of motherhood and career. It's something that today's guest knows all about. Lauren Perrott had a panic attack during a meeting in New Zealand when returning to paid work, and I don't think it's a stretch to say it changed everything for the mother of two. And eventually, she'd go on to launch Bubba Desk, the co-working service with on-site childcare that is quite literally changing lives. Here, we explore finding meaning in paid work, how that meeting in New Zealand would go on to change her path, and why mothers and parents need more choice when it comes to childcare. I'm Lucinda, this is Ready or Not, and here is the clever and compassionate Lauren Perrott. Lauren, when you returned to work after your first, you were in Auckland, you were mid-meeting, and something quite visceral happened to you. I'll let you explain it. What happened and what do you recall most looking back now?
Yeah, I mean, even just thinking about it now, I just felt my heart start to go really fast. Yeah, the word visceral is such a kind of great way to explain it, but essentially it was my third week or second week back after having my first baby. He was only 6 months old. And we had a work trip to Auckland and I was in a meeting, I think on day two. And already I was trying to have to really get myself mentally prepared to be away from my baby. So I was already kind of, I guess, on edge the entire time. But I was in this meeting and I suddenly felt like I was going to collapse and my, you know, my heart was going really fast. I felt physically sick and I knew I wasn't ill in the sense of ill, but I knew that I was having some sort of attack. And I had suffered with postnatal anxiety. So I knew that was what was happening. But, you know, when you're in that professional interaction, it's hard to kind of, I guess, remove yourself because of that. You can't just sort of say to this banker I'm having a conversation with, oh, I just need to take a moment. I'm having a postnatal anxiety attack. But anyway, I did. I made my excuses and I left. And yeah, I got to the airport and I convinced them, the airline, to get me on an earlier flight. And I told my work that I was just feeling really sick and I had to go home. So I completely lied to them as to what was happening. I didn't admit as to what was actually going on. And then it felt like about 3 days worth of journey to get home to my baby. But it was awful. I think it was my body and my mind saying, you've done this way too quickly. You need to take a moment and slow down on this transition.
Was it really validating then? I can't believe I can't remember his name, but the weather reporter crossed back to Lisa Miller just the other day again because he was having a panic attack on live air. Have you seen that and the discourse around that? And how does that feel as someone that felt at the time that they had to hide it?
Look, I think it's great that one, it's a male that's actually admitting that's happening. I think that gives us the opportunity to admit where we're not okay. And I think for me, the reason why I hadn't had that discussion with my employer to date was because I was still trying to figure out what these feelings were myself and how best to manage it, I guess. And I was only just starting to gain these kind of tools in my tool belt for dealing with those moments. And for me, there was times where it would be exacerbated. So times where when I was physically distant from my baby, I don't know why. I don't know what I don't know at my core as to the reasons why that would trigger it so much, but it did. Maybe it was, you know, the pregnancy experience and the birth experience, which I'm sure we'll get to. But, you know, I started to understand where my triggers would be, and then I could help kind of to manage those. And I'm sure, you know, someone who's the face of a news program would be feeling that on a daily. And so it would be just this pile up. And then it would just suddenly amount to a physical attack for him on screen. So I've done a lot of work now to understand when I'm triggered, how to manage it, and I'm feeling a lot better. But it can be a really scary time when you don't understand it, which I'm sure so many postpartum women would feel, that not being able to identify what postnatal anxiety is, what to look out for, and then how to manage it.
I can already see so many threads of how your journey has come to be what it is today. So let's take it back to the start. You haven't had children yet. What does career life look like for you pre-children?
Look, my career started when I arrived in Australia, and that was about 14 years ago. I arrived with $500, an Australian crush, and an internship. And, you know, from the get-go, I was having to hustle because I didn't come from money. I didn't really come from a huge educational background. So I've always been a bit of a hustler, and I sort of managed to get myself into this marketing career, just stayed in it for 10 years and climbed the ranks pretty quickly, predominantly from that hustle. Like, I don't think I was particularly talented. I didn't have that, you know, really strong education background, but, you know, I hustled my way. And I was pretty fickle in my 20s, and I wasn't particularly loyal to anybody or anything, which, you know, there's a whole podcast on that. But then I kind of got to my 30s, as I turned 30, had an opportunity to move into a sales role in a fintech company selling data rooms to bankers and lawyers, which, you know, retrospectively is not that exciting. But at the time, it was a step up. It was a far more corporate kind of environment. I had to completely retrain. They trained me in sales. They trained me in M&A transactions and capital markets and things like that. So I really found my calling in sales. I loved the gratification of getting a deal done. And I was motivated by that kind of what you put in is what you get out kind of model. And I, you know, the career trajectory ended up tripling my salary. So that in itself kind of changes your lifestyle. It changes what you can achieve. Like, what you can achieve is so much more tangible, like buy a house or, you know, you can do this. And so my career grew up and so did I during that time as well.
And how did you feel about motherhood at that time? Had it entered the internal chat for you, or were you not really thinking about it?
Yeah, look, I have an incredible bond with my own mother. She was a single parent raising me and my sister. And so her and I were incredibly close. Like, we grew up doing everything together. She was my best friend. I held her hand until I was 15 crossing roads. Like, it was that type of, you know, motherly bond. And so I always knew that I wanted that for myself. And I think I had that dream of wanting to be married and have a baby by 27, or, you know, I'll let it go to 30, but no further than that. It'll be a geriatric. But that didn't obviously eventuate. But I knew deep down in my core that I always wanted to be a mother. And, you know, I'm glad that didn't eventuate in my 20s, because it would have been with the wrong person. And yeah, the person that I actually did end up meeting was 100% the right person. And our little timeline was, I guess, a testament to that. Like, we met September 2019, we were engaged by September 2020, then we had our first baby, Charles, in September 2021. So September's a big month for us. And that's a classic COVID timeline, right? Like, we met, we got the dog, we got married, we had the baby, all within that COVID little bubble. So yeah, classic us.
Yeah. And September will always be busy, that means, because there'll be birthdays and anniversaries to celebrate forever. So then, speaking of timelines, let's take you to pregnancy with Charles. How are you feeling just emotionally, but also how does making work look like with pregnancy?
Yeah. So during COVID, like during 2020, whenever COVID hit, 2020, my husband and I moved to the farm. We had like a house that he had on his farm, on his property, his parents' property. It was incredibly remote. Like, it did not have an address. It was four gates of fields to even get to this property. So we had this experience of being completely removed from society. And our whole focus in life was growing this vegetable patch and making sure the orchard looked nice. The house itself was questionable. And every time you opened a cupboard, there was a mouse. But, you know, it was very character building. And if we couldn't get through that in a relationship, then, you know, that's kind of the biggest test. But during that time, the other thing other than the vegetable patch was all we focused on was work. And so, like I said, I was so motivated in this immediate gratification of getting deals that we were just power all day, just hitting goals and focused on that. And then we started talking about having a baby. And then my entire focus was on having a baby. And so work just kind of was, you know, I could do it in my sleep. And I ended up being quite a high performer despite the background of not having any sales experience or had the education necessarily. But like I said, it's my calling and I really found my stride in it. And I was really good. I was one of the top people. So I could kind of do it in my sleep. And so I was just so focused on conceiving this baby. And luckily for us, and we were so blessed, we conceived straight away, first time. But then we lost two in a row. So that then, for me, I think when, okay, I'm used to getting what I want and I'm used to, you know, things happening. And then it wasn't. And, you know, I was left with no one really around me because we were so isolated physically, but also in my friend group, I didn't have anyone that was at that stage yet. So I had no one to kind of really talk to about it. It was all on my husband. And of course, you know, my husband is very emotionally in tune and he could talk me through this, but I felt like I was just alone with this Pinterest board of my baby's bedroom and the dream. And, you know, we lost the baby. But I think when we did conceive Charles, it really, I knew from the minute I conceived him that he was sticking. I had this really strong feeling. And I remember being on a phone call with a friend and I told her, I was like, I think this is the one, like he's definitely staying. And I just felt him with us. So that pregnancy ended up being partly really blissful because we were able to just really focus on the pregnancy because nothing else was happening in the world because it was COVID. And I got to rest a lot because I didn't have to be anywhere and I didn't really have to get dressed from the waist down because of COVID and Zoom. But the anxiety was real from the beginning and I didn't know what it was. I thought it was me feeling sick from just morning sickness. But that continued the whole time. And it was kind of these butterflies and this, like I was going to throw up and faint all the time. But blood pressure was fine. I was physically actually really well. But it was just this anxiety. Like if I went to drive somewhere to visit a friend, which was obviously really infrequent because of COVID. I remember this one time I went and left, but I had to turn around because I physically couldn't keep driving. It was just very, very strong. And I try and get myself to go outside and go for walks each day. And I had this ritual where I needed to take a beauty bite and I needed them in my pocket to feel safe to leave so that if I felt dizzy or sick, I could have one and then feel okay, which is actually really funny because I now am really good friends with Kira. She's in my mother's group. So I was like,
Oh my God, stars aligning.
Yeah, exactly. It was so funny. But yeah, the pregnancy progressed. Charles was fine until we had a really worrying scan and they said there's some worrying scans with his brain. So immediately you're like, oh my God. And it turned out he had slightly enlarged ventricles. And so of course you go into this Dr. Google hellhole and you painted this life for yourself based on the worst possible scenario. And for us, you know, that could have been quite a severe disability if it had eventuated. It ended up not. And for some reason, it just was one of those things and he's absolutely fine. But I think that just exacerbated that anxiety the whole way through as well. It's a constant worry. But despite all this, like I seemed to still, you know, I was still hitting all my targets for work and I was still performing in a really, you know, consistent way. But I didn't have anyone within my workplace to, I guess, understand how best to do pregnancy and work. No one in my workplace had a baby. No one was a parent. And so therefore, no one had also returned to work. So I had no one to kind of look up to as like a mentor, I guess, in that space. So it made me just stay ignorant to that whole entire side of after giving birth. I didn't even really think about it. I was just like, I'll return. That'll be fine. Whatever. I didn't even give it a moment's thought, which in retrospect was a mistake.
Yeah. So you'd had this anxiety during pregnancy that perhaps you didn't quite name or label at that time. And then you meet your baby. You tell us about those early days of motherhood.
Yes. Well, he came into the world. It was a traumatic birth. Like, he was posterior. It was a long labor. You know, like many first births, it wasn't what I expected. I was absolutely exhausted by the time that he put baby on me. And I just, you know, I was so intensely happy, but I had no energy to feel anything beyond. I don't know. I just couldn't fathom that he was here. I just wanted to sleep. So, you know, he was born into this kind of exhausted mother and he got better. But, you know, we had a bit of a stop start in terms of breastfeeding. He had a tongue tie. So I just felt like I was on the back foot a little bit from the get-go, which I hear now from so many mothers. That's what they experienced too. And they just hadn't even anticipated. Like, they'd spent all this time doing birthing classes and trying to have the best possible birth, but no time on what happens once baby's here, especially with breastfeeding. And it's so common to have breastfeeding challenges. And yeah, I felt very clueless in that area. And luckily, I'd actually curated my mother's group during pregnancy by just putting out a Facebook post. And luckily, everyone that was interested turned out to be really amazing women that we're all still friends. So had I not had that, I think that early stage would have been incredibly lonely. And especially with the COVID, especially with the anxiety, I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to see anyone. So having them there, even just virtually, felt like I had everyone that I needed in my corner. And I think they all felt the same way. Like, we knew what to do with each other. So yeah, it was retrospectively as well, looking back that first couple of months with your baby compared to now, it was incredibly quiet. It was still. All I had to think about was what I was going to eat in the day, you know, when he was going to eat. But at the same time, there was kind of this spiraling thoughts all the time that I couldn't completely ignore. So yeah, there was definitely a bit of both happening.
Bit of light and shade, which seems very common in motherhood. So as you said, retrospectively, you didn't plan much in terms of the return to work, or you didn't think about it too much. How did you feel in the lead up when it was getting closer? And then how did it actually play out for you?
Yeah. So in the lead up, I just assumed that I would go back actually earlier than I'd anticipated. I thought I'd go back at 4 months because I was money driven, because sales basically equals money. And so the more you worked, the more money you earned. And we had great commission at my job. And so I was pretty driven during pregnancy just to get back into that, you know, earning. We had goals. We wanted to buy another house and things like that. So I thought that that would be my return. And from a childcare perspective, I just assumed we'd just go to a daycare and that would be that. Now, that completely turned on its head as soon as he arrived. I was like, why would I ever want to be away from this child? I'm not going to send him to a daycare and just drop him off at 4 months old and not know what he's doing all day, or not be able to feed him or cuddle him or anything like that. Like, I was like, this is just such a bizarre concept for me. Like, I can't be away from him. And so I think, yeah, 4 months postpartum, I was like, oh, we'll just get a nanny, don't worry. My husband was like, okay, nannies are pretty expensive, so I'm not sure if that's going to really fit into the budget. But I was like, it will work out. It will work out. It's tomorrow's problem. It'll be fine. So yeah, my perspective changed a lot, which I'm sure you hear so often from mums returning to work, that everything changes from purpose and what is meaningful. And for me, I got a hard realization that selling data rooms has zero meaning and it doesn't give me any purpose in life. Sales is quite a cold job. And so, yeah, I think that maternal instinct, which is so raw in most of us, that we are so programmed on just nourishing and protecting our baby, it's hard to kind of refocus that energy into performing at work if you are not passionate about that content that you are working on or that job or that role. So I think had I perhaps done some upfront work during pregnancy to understand how to better integrate my life and my work post having a baby, it might have been a slightly different experience. But for me, I think it was just that the area of work that I was in just wasn't right for me as a mother. I think that's pretty much what it came down to. You know, the environment of my workplace was not a really family focused. No one within my peer network in my work groups were having babies. And so it just didn't make sense of me having a baby in that environment.
And so we mentioned this anxiety attack or panic attack that you had in Auckland that sent you home. What followed that? What came next in terms of, was it just so busy that you sort of kept going, or did you have this big moment of addressing what had happened and what needed to change?
Yeah, so I sort of reshaped the way that I was approaching work from there on in. I negotiated that I worked from home predominantly, and I was only in the city once a fortnight, if that. And it actually turned out that I would either just make up an excuse to not go in because something in me just didn't, I didn't want to be away from my child, simple as that. And then, you know, we did end up exploring the idea of having a nanny. And so we had a couple of hit and misses with nannies. And then we finally found this beautiful nanny, Sophie, who actually still now works with us at Bubba Desk. We had her for half days, and that really suited us because we had her in the morning. Charles would then sleep for a couple hours, and that would be my day, sort of 6 hours. That was enough to get out what I needed. But as I was doing this, I was like, why? I'm working from home, and all my kind of mother's group friends were all trying to juggle how to get into daycare, what that looked like. And I was like, why don't we all just pitch in for an office space and find great nannies and just all work together under one roof and share the costs, share the load and everything. And then I was like, actually, it was only a 24-hour kind of period. I was like, this is a really good idea. I think this could work. So I quickly kind of put out a survey to the local mothers network, and it was an idea that was really quickly validated. And within sort of 6 weeks, this concept of co-working with childcare, Bubba Desk, was born and operating on the Central Coast.
Wow. So it starts as this informal thing, I guess. And then at some point you realize this has legs. This is an actual business. How does it get from A to B?
Yeah. So, I mean, because with a service-based business, you have to set up the physical space and it be a business pretty much straight on. You don't get much of a chance to have like a minimal viable product as such. So I really had to validate the concept in theory with lots of different sort of ways and surveys and interactions of different parents that I was friends with or just had in my network to understand if this idea was worth quite a big investment to secure a space, fit out, hire people. And it was validated enough for us to start this location. And then I guess once this location was operational for a couple of months and the interest that we got, I was pretty sure that this was something that we could roll out nationally.
And so where did it go from there? I feel like now you've got so many locations, you're looking to open in so many different cities. And I'm sort of taking you a little bit ahead here because I did want to ask about your second return to work experience and the boundaries you set there. But I want to know firstly how it then grew into this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I used to capture when people registered interest for Bubba Desk, we used to capture the reasons why. Like, why does Bubba Desk resonate with you? And 9 times out of 10, people would say, I just don't want to be away from my baby. And so I knew that we were solving a problem that was so innately maternal that every mother probably felt this way, but we wasn't given the opportunity to actually voice it and have an alternative to the traditional routes of returning to work and just using daycare. Nannies are pricey. There are a certain threshold of being able to achieve that. But for me, just really, you know, that was something I couldn't let go of, and I had to ensure that I was doing the best to bring this concept to as many families as possible, because the impact that it had was so much more than just helping make work-life balance work. It was about the overall impact. I have parents that say, because dad is able to come and use Bubba Desk, it meant that mum could pick up an additional shift as a nurse, which meant that they could then go on and buy a house. Or it meant that because I'm getting so much work done productively at Bubba Desk, I'm going home when I'm cooking more. And I'm able to be a better present mother because I'm having separation from time with children, present time with children, to really productive work time within the workspace. So yeah, that for me every day just motivates me to continue to take Bubba Desk wherever the demand is.
It's such meaningful work too, because it would break down so many barriers for mums that do want to re-enter the workforce in some way, but they're not sure exactly how. So I can't even begin to imagine the amount of different ways you're impacting people's lives. You're at this interesting cross-section now of growing, but the catch-22, as we often know, is that can mean we're getting pulled in different directions. And if we want to spend time with our kids, it's always that way up of how much time goes there and how much time goes here. What's that challenge and reward looking like for you at the moment? How do you find that you are spending your time?
I've recently just made a hire, which has been an absolute game changer, because before this, I literally 3 weeks ago, prior to that, I was doing everything. I was doing marketing, customer service, sales, growth strategy, you name it, social, everything. And I recently hired a member concierge person, which for me was a really difficult decision because she's essentially an extra front to the brand. And she's having that interaction one-on-one with our members. And for me, service-based business, the experience is everything. And I'm really passionate about ensuring that experience is amazing from the moment you start thinking about Bubba Desk to when you are leaving to go on to other things. But she was the best decision to hire. I hired her because she was a friend of someone who also works in Bubba Desk. So there was an immediate trust, and trust was the main element here. But you know, for me, time is fleeting and my children are only this age for a certain amount of time. And Charles will be in school in 3 years, which is crazy to say. And I always put my children as my priority right now because I'm in the privileged position to be able to do that because of the way that we have constructed and structured our business. I can do that. I can choose essentially that I want to work for 4 hours in the morning or 4 hours in the afternoon or just when they're sleeping. And I can kind of pick and choose when to use Bubba Desk. And I'm in a really amazing position to be able to do that, which has enabled me to have full priority over my children. And that's my chosen career choice right now. And that might change. You know, I'm pushed and pulled in thinking this way every day because we have so many opportunities coming our way because of Bubba Desk. We have so many inbound opportunities and so many, you know, different strategies that I want to sort of deploy. But at the end of the day, I have to always make sure that my work-life balance is in tune and in check. But that doesn't mean that I'm not always on. Like, I can be bathing my children with, you know, my mind going and trying to plan something for the next day, or I might be sat on the floor playing with them, but I'm also, you know, over here thinking about something else. So it's really hard to be truly present with them. And I'm sure every mum knows that.
That active mind piece when you're with your kids, even if you aren't physically at your laptop or at your phone or whatever, is probably my biggest challenge. So I'm right there with you. I'm desperate for you to open on the Mornington Peninsula in Victoria because I love the concept. For anyone like me that would like to attend, what does a day in the life look like at Bubba Desk?
I love telling people about this part because, like I said, we try and create this experience. So you walk in the morning with your baby, it's one car trip, and you arrive and we have relaxing spa music playing. We don't have the Wiggles. We have music that I feel like I would want to walk into. I always go back to me as the user and what I would love and expect from a space. And we try and create calm. So you come in with your baby and greeted by all our beautiful Bubba Desk girls, and then you write your routine on the board. So we stick to your own baby's routine. And that might differ from day to day. Baby might have a disaster nap in the car, and so that will change things for the day. And then a lot of the people that use our service are first time mums or dads, and it's their transition back to work. So we ask them before they even start, how are you feeling? And they get to, are they anxious? Are they feeling good? And so we already preempt that as they walking in. And so our team makes sure to give them extra love and give them extra, you know, nurture them in a way that will hopefully help them have a better transition in that period. And then, you know, your bub's looked after, the team will do all the changing, feeding, sleeping, or you can go in and do any of that as well. So quite often we'll have parents that will want to be more involved in the daily routine to start up with, and then they'll kind of ease back after they see how amazing our team are and bub feels settled, and then, you know, you can have longer blocks of time just getting stuff done. And then you come into your, you know, the co-working space, and it's set up in a way that's really productive, but also helps to create interaction with other people as well. And, you know, it's a setting where everyone's in the same boat. Everyone is at the same life stage. And so that whole gap that I had when I was returning to work, where I had no one in my workplace that knew how I was feeling, is the opposite here. And we have some people walk in tears, not crying too much, but just they're emotional because it's a lot to physically leave their baby for the first time, even if they're just next door. And so another parent will pick that up, and they'll go over and say, it's okay, you're all right. They're just next door. You can go in anytime. So yeah, and when I use Bubbadess myself, it's different energy. You use different energy when you're looking after your children versus when you're working. And the children, you know, by 6 p.m., you're pretty drained and it's a different type of energy you're using. When I use Bubbadess for the day and I go home and I'm cooking dinner, I'm still really like up and able to spend lots of physical fun time with my children, and I'm a different mother versus when I don't use Bubbadess and I go and I'm just like, oh my God, 6 p.m., give me some wine, go to sleep, children.
Oh, I know those two modes of thought all too well.
Yeah, definitely.
I imagine there's a lot of infrastructure around what you've built in that it's not just this co-working space that you made. You've had to find educators to a level that you think are really worthy of being a part of the program. I imagine there's rules about how many educators, ratios and all of those sorts of rules that come with the childcare. How did you go about all of that? And what did you sort of build as, I guess, your framework of what you were looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. So I always come back to what I would want as a mother, as an anxious mother who has high expectations of most things. And so we always try and hire people that bring a lot of perspective to both the children's part and the parents' part. So naturally, hiring a mother is a priority for us because they've been there. And so 75% of our team are mothers themselves. They either come from a strong childcare background or they've been a nanny for 5 years plus. You know, we have one person in St. Leonard's who's been a nanny for 20 years. So they bring so much knowledge and passion to the concept that our team is everything. And I had to make a difficult decision earlier this week on Monday, actually, and let someone go because despite her being a very friendly, lovely, capable person, she just wasn't quite the right fit for our brand. And so I had to make that difficult decision. But at the end of the day, they represent our brand every day. And so we have very high criteria in order for them to even be hired. And then also for them to kind of stay, they have to kind of, you know, represent the brand in a really strong way, both for the children's sake and for the parents' experience.
And so I mentioned that I wanted to come back to how you approached your second return to work after what you'd learned through your first return. What did you do in terms of boundary setting or planning or any of that?
There was zero boundaries. Harvey was born. He was an absolute dream. Dream pregnancy, dream birth. He was born and within 2 hours, I was on my laptop working. So there was zero boundaries with Harvey. I couldn't afford to not. I had no mat leave. I obviously had mat leave from my day job, but not from Bubbadess. I can't. It was, you know, it's our third baby. So unfortunately, there was zero boundaries in terms of work-life balance with my second baby. But what I did do when it came back to the return to my day job after 12 months of mat leave this time, and I think that was the first key thing that I did better second time round, was put in 12 months leave and really give myself the opportunity to get past the bulk of that postnatal anxiety that I knew was coming. And so that really set me up for better success. And then a couple of months prior, I started the conversation with my employer around what return to work looked like for me. And it needed to be really flexible. One, because managing 2 children under 3, just logistically around working, despite having a business, it would have been a challenge to start with that I wanted to ease my way back in. And so I negotiated 3 days work from home full time. Originally, they said no. So originally they were like, you cannot work from home 100% and you cannot do a sales job only working 3 days a week, point blank. The whole industry can't do that. And so that really threw me and actually fired me up to say, yeah, you can. And so I drew some information from Fair Work. I engaged an employment lawyer who's one of my good friends and pushed back on that and sort of set myself up with a case as to why I could make it work, how I've managed to make work from home work up until then pretty much. And they ended up actually agreeing. And I sort of framed it to them as this is the opportunity to set the benchmark for how to support women return to work in your environment. Unfortunately, you know, I was faced with, it's a US company, and so already they're a bit backwards with parental leave. So this was a big thing for them, and they got approval from Global and everything. And I returned on a Monday and immediately knew that there was no way that I could find any passion or purpose in this role anymore. And so it felt ridiculous to even try and do that amongst Bubba Desk and raising my 2 children. So by the Friday, I resigned.
And how did you feel in that moment? I'm sure there was a sense of freedom, but then there's also the pressure of that you're a business owner without that other income. How did you feel?
Yeah, it was a moment of reflection actually as to how far I'd come as a business owner and as an individual who knew what my new purpose was. And it was really exciting actually to be able to be in that position to do that. And so I felt quite relieved at the fact that I didn't have to even try and juggle both, because I had feared that I wouldn't have been able to do both really well. And as a high performer, I wanted to be able to ensure that I met my own standards in both. And so being able to just focus on one, Bubba Desk, and my children, I knew I could do a really good job in doing that.
And if you could give any advice to anyone that has struggled with anxiety, either during pregnancy or in the postpartum, what would it be?
I always like to recommend finding a mummy mentor. And so you don't know what you don't know, right? And so if you're pregnant and you're not feeling anything within the anxiety or depression realm, how are you to know that's going to come and hit you like a ton of bricks when your baby is here? But if you have a few mummy mentors that have just been there and done that, one piece of advice could completely change that course postnatally for you. If you spoke to them and said, I have this feeling, then you can straight away go, instead of just sitting with that feeling and suffering in it, do this or try this or speak to this person. And it can completely can speed up getting to the point where you're feeling better, I guess.
That's such a good point as well, because sometimes I think you're so in your head, you almost don't want to voice what you're talking about to people close to you. So having these mentors that perhaps it's not your mum or your husband or your wife, whatever it is so valuable, because maybe that gives you the space to actually find the words to attach to how you're feeling. I love that piece of advice. And speaking of, you say that community in motherhood is everything, and I couldn't agree more. What would be your tips to someone else that needs to or wants to build a community of mums around them?
Oh, look, I'm an introvert, right? And so this is where I get a little bit, I feel like I'm a fraud building community, because I am at my happiest when I'm on my own. And so, but I really understand the importance. And there's definitely times, you know, maybe once a week, twice a week, where I'm really crave that community and I see the value in it. And I think it's so important because, you know, you can spiral and it can spiral quickly. And it's not because of you. It's not because of your baby necessarily, but it's because of this physiological thing that's happening in your body where your hormones are changing and having this intense drop. And, you know, it's the most profound change you can experience in your entire lifetime. And so even if you are more inclined to be with your own thoughts, sharing that with someone and just having a conversation about it can really have an impact as to how much you could enjoy motherhood more, or feel like you could just let go of it a little bit. And so then you can be more present with your children, or feel like you can just relax and think about something career or business wise with more clarity more. And so, you know, for me, I did the whole find a community on Facebook, but things like Bubba Desk, where you can come and have an immediate community at the exact same life stage, but yourself and plus, well, you're also your baby. For me, that without this community, I don't know where I would have been postnatally with either of my children if I'd returned to the day job that I had and the workplace that I had. I don't know how that would have eventuated. I don't know whether I would have been as content in motherhood that I am now.
And you say in our emailing that motherhood is almost like the Olympics, but we don't give ourselves the recognition that can come with something like the Olympics. How do you try and give yourself a pat on the back each day?
I probably don't do it enough, to be honest with you. And, you know, when I said that it feels like the Olympics, it's the discipline, right? It's the getting up every day at the same time, day in, day out, and getting out there and training yourself in motherhood. And like, it seriously is like that because you're building muscles every day in patience. You're building muscles in how to navigate this particular behavior that might be happening, presence. You're walking 10,000 steps, just tidying up after your toddler, let alone even going outside to do activities. I think, you know, it's important, even if it's just a bath time, instead of sitting there letting your mind run into what you've got to do for the next day, sitting there and just looking at your children and just going, I'm so proud of these children. I'm so proud of me. I'm so proud of how in today I didn't get angry because I didn't eat their eggs, or I handled this situation really well. You know, I think it's important to tell yourself that you did a really good job because no one else is going to. Obviously, you have a really supportive partner. I'm sure they're going to say things every day or sometimes that are going to make you feel, yeah, good mom. But you can't rely on anyone else every day to say you're doing a really good job. But when you receive that, and I receive it occasionally from a very special mom, and she'll just message me and say, you're doing a really good job for no reason. But that hits me like into my soul. And I really take it on. And I'm like, thank you, because today I really needed that. I didn't. And especially if you're managing all your work life as well, running a business, like there's so many times where I should have been celebrating more of what happened in a day that I didn't necessarily, or I just, you know, I had to just move on to the next thing, I had to get lunch ready, or I had to go and do something else. But we just had this major win with, you know, for example, Canva just came on board as adopting us as an employee benefit. And honestly, I feel like I just blinked and it happened and I was like, great, yep, cool, on to the next thing. Whereas that's a huge milestone for us.
Canva. Huge. Yeah. Oh, I was really impressed when I saw that. I thought that was amazing. So it's almost like we just need to stop and smell the roses, both in what's happening in our paid work and our work at home. If I could give you one last question, I want you to think about the newly pregnant Lauren and the, I guess, challenges she'd face with anxieties and feelings of perhaps overwhelm and the emotions that come with motherhood. What would you tell her now?
I was thinking about this last night, and I think it all comes down to this, right? Is you don't know how many days or summers or Christmases you're going to get with your children. And so even if you're feeling anxiety, it's just to look down and be with them. And that helps to put everything into perspective. And for me, you know, that's my why. And that's why I'm building what I'm building for all these other families, is so that they can have that closest with their children as well.
Lauren, where can people find you online?
Bubbadess.com. And also on Instagram, just search Bubbadess. And yeah, that's where we are.
Thank you so much for sharing your story and for your brilliant work.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Ready or Not. If you liked the show, please tell your friends, subscribe, or write a review. You can also find us on Instagram at readyornot.pod. That's it for today. We'll see you next time.